The first lesson this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14, and chapter 5, 6 to 11. And even though this was written almost 2,000 years ago, it's very timely because it talks a little bit about the tensions that we feel in the world today. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. And then from chapter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him all the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of our Lord.
Our second lesson comes from the book of Acts. This is the story of the church, the beginning of the church. And in this particular reading that we have, the risen Jesus is with his followers for one last time. And so it reads like this. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it's not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. I find it comical that the disciples were staring up into the sky. They watched Jesus ascend into heaven, and they kept staring. Now the sky is empty, nothing there. And two men come along, walk along, probably looked up too. And then they said, move along. It's time to go. The show's over. And it reminds me of when I go to the movies today. Many movies today kind of show things during the credits. They'll show bloopers or they'll show something that went along with the movie. And they're trying to keep you there to watch the credits. And then some of them will wait to the very end of the credits. And they'll show something that's maybe one last little comical thing, or they'll give you a teaser for the next movie that will come, the sequel. And not all movies do this, but the ones that I go to with my kids tend to do this. And so you're kind of standing there, you're watching the screen as the credits go by, and they're not showing any pictures anymore, but you're waiting until the very end to see what happens at the end. And the theater staff have started to come in, and you know they're cleaning up all the floor, all the popcorn and all the stuff that's there. And I suspect they're wanting to say, all right, move along. The show's over. And so when I read this account of Jesus' ascension, I'm thinking of a couple of men coming. They have a big trash can on wheels, and they got their brooms, and they're going to clean up after the mess of this crowd. And it's like, all right, move along. Show's over. This past Thursday was Ascension Day, the day that Jesus ascended into heaven. I know that because the Amish market was closed. They celebrate Ascension Day. We Presbyterians don't tend to do much with it. It's on my calendar, my church calendar, but we don't do anything with it. But it's 10 days before Pentecost, 10 days before the birth of the church. And Jesus told them that they are to stay together and wait. For the Holy Spirit is about to come. And when this Holy Spirit comes, they're going to have power. And that Greek word for power is the word that we get dynamite from. There's going to be an explosion when the Holy Spirit comes. And they're going to be witnesses into Jerusalem and into Judea and to Samaria and to the furthermost parts of the earth. God's about to do something great. So you need to go back. You got to move along and then hurry up and wait. Because it'll be 10 days before this happens, but they don't know how long it will be. They stay together and they pray, which is a good thing for us to recognize. Because this is what we need to be doing. I believe our church is in that place where we need to be moving along, doing something different than what we've been doing. But we don't know what it is we need to be doing, so we need to be hurry up and waiting. Waiting for God to do something. And the disciples, they stayed together and they prayed, so that they wouldn't miss it. And I suspect the one leading the bandwagon on waiting together would have been Thomas. You remember Thomas, he's the one that missed Easter. Thomas wasn't there in that upper room when Jesus appeared before the other disciples. I guess he was out picking up the pizza or something, but he wasn't there. And when he came back, the disciples are saying, hey, Jesus is alive, he's risen. And Thomas is saying, I don't believe you. Not until I see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side will I believe. And it was a week later when he finally saw and he believed. So this time around, he's sticking with the disciples like glue. I'm not leaving your presence because something's going to happen and I don't want to miss it. So they were moving along, hurrying and waiting. Hurry up to wait. And they were praying. We need to be praying. We need to be asking God to be at work in our midst. And we need to stay together. We know that the church in the United States today has declining membership. Not just Presbyterians, it's all over the map. People are abandoning the church. And many folks are saying, hey, I'm spiritual, I'm just not religious. I don't need the church. I can commune with God out in nature. God is close to me when I drink my morning coffee and I read my newspaper. And my answer to folks like this is, your vision is too small. It's not about me and God. It's about we and God. Christianity was never meant to be an individual religion. It's a communal religion, us together. Don't get me wrong, our individual faith is important. But we need one another if we are to experience the power of that Holy Spirit when it comes, to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We do this together because we bring different gifts and talents when we do something together. There's only so much I can do as an individual, but I can do so much more if we work together. And you bring the things that you're good at, and I bring the things that I'm good at, and we can overcome those things we might not be good at because we cover each other's weaknesses. So we need to be together, and we need to be praying. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Our church, like I said, needs to be moving along, not continuing to do the things that we've always done. But we're in that period of hurry up and wait for the new thing that God wants to do. Who is God calling us to be? What is God calling us to do? How do we find these things out? We stay together and we pray. And I think we go to the 1 Peter reading that we found in the verse, especially in chapter 5. Because they tell us first to be humble. Recognizing that we don't do this on our own power. We can band together and we can do some good things, but it's when we band together and we have the power of the Holy Spirit come upon us that we do great things. So we humble ourselves, recognizing that it's God that's going to do the work in us and through us. And then we cast our anxiety upon the Lord. When we talk about change in the church, people get anxious. Are you going to change what I like? Are you going to change the things that are meaningful to me? We get comfortable with the way we do things. And the Spirit doesn't always allow us to stay comfortable. I think God's going to be shaking some things up, and I don't know what it's going to be. So we need to cast our anxieties to God, believing that God has the best intentions for our church, for us as members of this church. But let us not be anxious, for God is good, God is loving, and God will not abandon us. And then it says we need to have discipline. Discipline to be praying. We should be praying for our church every day. Discipline to be studying the Word, because as we study the Word and as we pray, we are better able to receive God's leading and direction. So we are to be humble. We are to cast our anxieties on God. We're to be disciplined. And we're also to be alert. Alert to the dangers that are in our world today. And there are dangers that the church faces that we don't even recognize. dangers like I was talking about before, this individualistic faith that where I don't need the church. We need to be alert to these things so we can stand firm against them. And as we do that, God is going to restore the church, to support the church, strengthen the church, and to enable and equip the church so that we might do the great things that God has in store for us. So as a church, let's move along. We got new things to be doing. And then let's hurry up and wait because we don't know what those things are yet. So I encourage you, pray for our church. Pray that God leads and guides us. Pray that we will know who we are to be and what we are to do. Pray for the session, our elected leaders, because they are going to be the ones that are leading us in this process. They're going to be bringing the church along as we go, keeping you informed and asking for your responses and your input. But it'll be the session that leads us as we go this way. So be praying for these men and women who serve as the ruling elders of our church. Pray for me as your pastor. I always like the story when I was working at this drug rehab center in Texas during my one summer while I was in college. One of the leaders there, the father of the evangelist who started the program, when anyone would say to him, I'm going to pray for you, he would say, great, I need the prayer, you need the practice. I need the prayer. I don't know about you whether you need the practice or not, but I do need the prayer. So pray for our church, our session, for me. Pray that God would be equipping us, strengthening us, empowering us, so that we might be witnesses to our Jerusalem, the eastern area, Talbot County, to our Judea, the eastern shore, to our Samaria, the United States, and even into the ends of the earth. For God has called us to be his people in this place and in this time to do his work. And we can only do it when we stay together and we pray and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, for our church, that you've called us to be together in this place, that you've called us to love and support one another as we seek to live out the Christian faith. But you've called us to do more than that. You've called us to be witnesses in this community, and in this region, and in this country, and in this world. And you've given us power to make a difference. So lead and guide us in these things, these new things that we need to discover. Help us to be moving along from what is past and hurrying up and waiting for what is new to come. And guide our session as they lead us in this. And be with me as I pastor the church. And may our church do great things for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.